Welcome to the W5BSA repeater.
Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1642, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, December 16th, 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, December the 17th, 2025 at 0200. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we are on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston, also the 443.325 repeater in Katy, and they both have a PL tone of 123.0, and then there's the 146.7 repeater downtown, and it's networked repeaters, and the AmSat DMR talk group, 98006, YSF Fusion is 11689, and the OFT 572580 when those connections are working. And then, of course, there's also Echolink, and that's at star, AmSat star. Okay, I will now take any check-ins.
Okay, Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta, W5JRD, call Jersey Village. Good evening, Marty.
Okay, good evening, Carl. You got a good loud signal there. WD5JRD up there in Jersey Village. And then we got sounds like somebody's trying to check in from the outskirts. You might try it one more time. Okay, well, we'll try to come back here about halfway through the net and check on any more people if we have checking in. Let's see, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat net. If you'd like to call and check into the net, you can do so with a quick phone check-in, 713-467-9870. You can send an APRS message. That's to West Virginia 5 Yankee, no dashes and no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. And then that email is wv5y@comcast.net. Okay, we're going to start here with a little bit of information from the South Texas Blue Launch Team. Looks like Walter's been playing around there with some of that free DV stuff. But other than that, they do have their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month, and that is at 4:30 p.m. here in a local restaurant. And then they take care of business there at a meeting on the Internet. That happens at 8 p.m. Central Time, and that's over on Zoom. So thanks to Walter, and that's at k5wh.net/Zoom. Okay, we know that the balloon launch for WV5Y-15 will be coming up here at some point, so we're still keeping an eye out. And I know they've been taking care of business and doing some experiments with some issues and also holidays, so all that kind of stuff definitely factors in. Okay, we're going over here to the AmSat News Service bulletins. This is AMS bulletin number 348, and this is from Mark Johns, K0JM. And let's see here. The AMSAT News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites.
BL-123.
Okay, the news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletins via the ANS list. To join the list, you just go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. And, of course, also the AMSAT News Service Bulletins are the latest ones are also featured on the front page of amsat.org. Okay, the crew of Soyuz MS-27, including NASA astronaut Johnny Kim, KJ-5HKP, along with Russian cosmonauts Sergei Rykunov and Alexei Zubritsky, returned safely to Earth after living aboard the International Space Station in weightlessness for 245 days. The return marked the end of ISS Expedition 73. Lieutenant Commander Johnny Kim was born and raised in Los Angeles, California, to Korean-American immigrants. He enlisted in the Navy as a seaman recruit after graduating high school in 2002. After completion of Hospital Corpsman A school training, he reported to basic underwater demolition / SEAL training in Coronado, California. After completing his training at Naval Special Warfare, Kim reported to the John F. Kennedy Special Warfare Center and School in Fort Liberty, North Carolina, for the Special Operations Combat Medic course. He was assigned as a Special Warfare Operator to SEAL Team 3 in San Diego, California, and obtained various qualifications, including Military Freefall Parachutist, Advanced Scuba Combatant Diver, Closed Circuit Rebreather, Naval Special Warfare Special Reconnaissance Scout and Sniper, and Advanced Special Operations Techniques. As a Navy SEAL, he completed more than 100 combat operations. In 2012, Petty Officer First Class Kim was commissioned as a Navy officer through the Navy's Enlisted to Officer Commissioning Program, Seaman to Admiral-21, following graduation from the University of San Diego. Kim obtained his medical degree from Harvard Medical School and completed his internship with the Harvard-affiliated Emergency Medicine Residency at Massachusetts General Hospital and Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, Massachusetts. Kim is an aeromedical dual-designated AMDB naval aviator and flight surgeon. He completed his primary flight training at Naval Air Station Corpus Christi, Texas, helicopter advanced flight training at MAS Whiting Field in Milton, Florida, and the Naval Flight Surgeon course at the Naval Aerospace Medical Institute at MAS Pensacola, Florida. Selected by NASA in 2017, Kim completed 2 years of training as an astronaut candidate. Training included technical and operational instruction in International Space Station systems, extra vehicular activities, EVA operations, T-38 flight training, robotics, physiological training, expeditionary training, field geology, water and wildness survival training, and Russian language proficiency training. In 2020, Kim began his support of the International Space Station operations as a capsule communicator, CAPCOM, in Mission Control Center in Houston, and the Artemis program under the Astronaut Exploration Branch. He served as the International Space Station's increment lead for Expedition 65 in 2021. And as part of his astronaut training, Kim earned his Technician Class Amateur Radio License in July of 2024. Okay, he launched the International Space Station on the April 8th, 2025 as a flight engineer on Soyuz MS-27 aircraft. He spent 8 months aboard the station as an Expedition 72-73 flight engineer, conducting science experiments and maintaining the space station. During the science expedition, Kim orbited the Earth 3,920 times and traveled nearly 104 million miles. He saw the arrival of 9 visiting spacecraft and the departure of 6 during his time in orbit. This was Kim's first space flight, where he served as flight engineer for Expedition 72 and 73. This also was Zabritsky's first trip to the space station. Ryzhikov now has logged a total of 603 days in space during 3 trips to the orbital complex, making him 13th in all time.
W5BSA repeater.
The 3 crew members were flown by helicopter to Karaganda, Kazakhstan, where recovery teams are based. After medical exams, Kim boarded a NASA aircraft and returned to Houston to spend Christmas with his wife and their 3 children. Expedition 74 is now underway with veteran NASA astronaut Mike Fink, KE5AIT, as commander, leading 6 flight engineers, including NASA astronauts Zena Cardman, KJ5CMN, and Chris Williams, KJ5GEW. And JAXA, or Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency astronaut Kamaya Kui, KJ5BPH, and Roscosmos cosmonauts Oleg Platonov, Sergei Kuchikhanov, and Sergei Mikhaev. And we want to thank NASA for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y, with the Houston AmSatNet. Okay, looks like we're about a quarter of the way here through our net, so we're going to take a quick standby. We're going to take a look and see who we've had checking in. Okay, we got Charlie, K5ENG, checked in, and he's over there in West Houston. So we're glad to get him checked in. And we got Dale, WB0AKO. He's up there in Moorhead, Minnesota, and he does the backup archiving of the audio for the website. And I hope everything is staying warm enough up there to continue to function, because I know they're having some really cold temperatures. And then, let's see, we've got Vern, WB0RCR in Wentzville, Missouri. And he's out there, and he transmits our net on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, as Vern likes to say. And that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays.
DL-123.
And we also want to say hello and check in Kai, N6ZZO. He's up there in McKinleyville, California, and he's one of our podcast listeners who listens to the net just like the next day. So we appreciate him listening to the net there and calling and checking in when he has a chance. Okay, let's see. From the Internet Relay Chat System, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, and we also want to say hello to Rachy. And then we've got Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, Bob, K8WX, and WAQHD. Okay, then from Echo Link, we've got Mitch, 80HJ, and of course, thanks to Mitch, he puts on the Wednesday night AmSatNet, and that takes place over on DMR. So that's, of course, on the AmSat DMR talk group. It's 98006, and there's YSF Fusion, that's 11689, and that's at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. So if you're going to be doing any roving, making any rare grid squares available for satellite ops, well, let those guys know. Check into that Wednesday night net. Okay, we want to say hello to Steve, KA5YFC, and also Damien, AG9P. He's up there in Oconto, Wisconsin. It's been a long time. He's been with us, listening. And then we've got Bruce, KK5JO, in Roman Forest, just up there north of Houston a ways. And, of course, thanks to Bruce, he is our website extraordinaire editor, and he does put links to our URLs that we discussed during the net up there, so you can click on the link there on the front page and follow along with the URLs if you desire. So we appreciate Bruce doing that. Of course, since he also is on the board of directors for AmSat and is the AmSat Awards guy, well, he's also got information on our website on how you can get awards or certificates for making satellite contacts. So you can check that out at amsatnet.com. And then over at amsat.org, you can find the status of the satellites, whether they're working or not, the frequencies that they're on, their uplink and downlink frequencies, and for the beacons. And then you can actually find out information about next year's symposium when that rolls around. And there's the store, and you can even buy satellite antennas, those good M-squared LEO sets for working those low-orbit satellites, and then you help keep amateur radio in space and get a bit of a discount at the same time. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. The AmSat Remove Before Flight key tags are available, and they are the real thing. Same thing as what they put on the actual satellites. It's a lovely key tag that is red, rectangular, and it has a remove before flight embroidered in white on one side, and the AMSAT logo and on the other side, and your $20 donation does go to help fly a Fox Plus satellite. And it does include first class postage. Sorry, it's only for those in the United States. Okay, you can order today at www.amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. Hey, do you think satellites are immune to seasons? Well, think again. Satellites experience an orbital summer and an orbital winter. And, of course, along with each one of those comes extreme effects. Because of the position of the Earth, as well as the orbital path, satellites experience periods when they are entirely out of Earth's shadow, which is the orbital summer, and periods when they are in eclipse for most or all of their orbits, or the orbital winter. And what does this mean for their batteries and temperature? Okay, well, we got a nice little graph here, and let's see, when fully illuminated, solar panels are generating nonstop power and batteries are fully charged. But orbital summer isn't just about light, it's about heat. Without the shadow of an eclipse to cool down, the satellite heats up, putting stress on batteries and other components. All right, conversely, when orbital winter happens, a satellite will experience maximum eclipse time. When in eclipse, batteries may not charge sufficiently. Satellites must survive long periods in the dark, relying heavily on batteries and internal heaters to keep from freezing. Orbital summer and orbital winter are primary contributors to satellite failure, and a major challenge to those who build and operate satellites of all types. And we want to thank Tiny GS for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. It is only about 2 weeks left to get your 2025 coin. You can help celebrate the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human space flight and support golf and the Fox Plus missions. Annual membership starts at only $120. Join the AMSAT President's Club today to help keep amateur radio in space. Okay, the URL, of course, for the getting your coin for the AMSAT President's Club, it's over at www.amsat.org/join-v-amsat-presidents-club. And we just got a landline check-in there from Andrew, KC5LWY, down there in Galveston. So, well, appreciate that check-in there. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. CCSDS development competition open to European hams. European Space Agency, or the ESA, is presenting a pilot program on behalf of the Consultative Committee for Space Data Systems, CDSDS, and is pleased to announce a new outreach initiative aimed at strengthening engagement with European amateur satellite and academic communities. This initiative supports the wider objective of promoting the adoption and practical application of CCSDS space communication standards. CCSDS invites European amateur satellite operators, students, educators, and academic researchers to participate to help advance open, interoperable space communication technologies.
DL-123.
European Space Agency, in partnership with Goonhilly Earth Station, CCSDS, AMSAT UK, and AMSAT DL, are launching a competition to develop high-quality reference implementations of selected CCSDS protocols. This competition is sponsored by the European Space Agency. Okay, this program invites participants to develop open standards compliant reference implementations of CCSDS protocols, contribute to a shared technical resource for amateur satellite operators, universities, and research groups. Gain recognition with both the CCSDS community and the broader space communications field. And an in-person hackathon at Goonhilly Earth Station will be available to interested participants, providing a unique environment for collaboration, expert guidance, and accelerated development. Goonhilly Earth Station is coordinating the competition and will not assert any ownership over hackathon or competition outputs. The prize winners of the competition will receive an invitation to attend a CCSDS conference in the United States where they will present their results to the international CCSDS community. Okay, we have an outline of the two CCSDS protocols selected for this competition. We've got LunaNet Signal in Space Recommended Standard, Augmented Forward Signal, LSIS-AFS. The LSIS-AFS standard defines how lunar orbiters or surface systems broadcast a unified navigation and timing signal to support future missions on and around the moon. It provides a framework for creating an enhanced interoperable forward signal that spacecraft, rovers, and astronauts can use for more accurate positioning, timing, and situational awareness. And then the CCSDS 235.1 standard defines how space missions establish, manage, and conclude communication sessions between spacecraft and ground systems. It provides a common framework that ensures reliable coordination when exchanging data, sending commands, and transitioning between communication states. Participants may choose either to develop a functional concept or prototype that demonstrates how the LSIS-AFS signal could be designed, transmitted, interpreted, or applied to support future lunar missions, or to create a practical interoperable reference implementation of space communications session control aligned with CCSDS 235.1 standard. The CCSDS is pleased to highlight a longer-term aspiration linked to this initiative. In close cooperation with its partners, particularly the European Space Agency, which is proposing a future cislunar amateur radio payload, CCSDS intends to support the preparation of the most successful protocol implementations for potential consideration for flight. This offers an exceptional opportunity for community-developed CCSDS-compliant software to be demonstrated in a deep space operational environment. This prospective mission is subject to funding and program approval.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, for inquiries or to express interest in participating, please contact esa-competition@amsad-uk.org. And, of course, Bruce has that link there for you at amsadnet.com also. And additional details, including eligibility criteria, protocol specifications, submission requirements, evaluation processes, and timelines will be released soon. And we want to thank AMSAT UK for that information. And this is Marty, WV5Y, with the Houston AMSAT Net. Okay, we're right just past the bottom of the hour here, so we're going to take a quick standby. See if we have any more check-ins. So any check-ins to the Houston AMSAT Net, come now. All right. Well, they're still advertising. Coming in 2025, although I'm starting to doubt it a little bit now, that's SDR Gen 2, the versatile GNU radio-based transverter. It's going to have 144 megahertz to 6 gigahertz continuous coverage, direct VHF, UHF, 900 megahertz LS and C-band operations, upconversion to 5 and dime capability. So it will also cover 5 and 10 gigahertz. All mode, like CW, single sideband, FT8, narrowband FM, SSTV, ATV, all kinds of modes. And the minimum downlink data rate is 1 Mbps. And it's built to fly on Fox Plus and the Golf missions. So we're looking forward to that. And that's SDR Gen 2. Built by Ascent, the amateur engineers keeping amateur radio in space, the advanced satellite communication exploration of new technology. Okay, we've got the VUCC satellite standing list for December 2025. The VUCC Satellite Award Endorsement Change Summary, and this is for November 1st, 2025 to November the Okay, at the top of the list, we've got E-70A, E-70A, or E-70A, I guess that is, E-70A. And they're going from 840 to 901. Okay, A-65BR from 676 to 701. F6GLJ from 609 to 701, EA3TA from 607 to 681, AD2DB from 604 to 650, HP2VX from 527 to 543, N6PAZ from 495 to 500, PY2HZ is new on the list with 427. Okay, OH3BP, went from 300 to 352, BI1QGX from 102 to 350, W6IA from 278 to 302, PY2YJ from 210 to 266, DH0GSU from 170 to 204, N9HF is new on the list with 185 contacts.
PL123.
Okay, and we've got KT80 going from 153 to 175, WB from 151 to 156, BI1NWO, new on the list with 126, and DF3VG is new on the list with 123. So we want to say congratulations to the new VUCC satellite holders, and those were PY2HC, N9HF, BI1NWO, and DF3VG, and N0HF is the first VUCC satellite holder from grid EL99, and PY2HZ is the first VUCC satellite holder from GG48. So we want to thank John Goering, N7AZ, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. Okay, we've got the next list, and that is the GXCC satellite standings for December. And let's see, this is actually the number of countries worked. The DXCC Satellite Award Endorsement Chain Summaries, and this is for November 1st to December 1st, 2025. Of course, you get your first initial DXCC award for working 100 countries. Okay, 100 countries worked plus via satellite. We've got HP9RYZ going from 166 in November to 169 contacts. We've got IK4CIE from 146 to 157, GABGCG from 135 to 154, PA7RA from 148 to 154. Okay, we have VL9RAN from 125 to 150, IU0LFQ from 121 to 150, IK1GPT going from 100 to 144. We've got DL8GAM with 125 contacts and going to 136. LA0FA, it's on the list with 128, then going to 133. ON6AA is from 114 to 131. W2GDJ from 122 to 123. LA7XQ is going from 110 to 118. JK2XXK is new on the list with 106. I1YDT is new with 100, and YB5QZ is new with 100. So we want to say congratulations to the new DXCC satellite holders, and that's JK2XXK, I1YBT, and YB5QZ. And YB5QZ is also the first DXC satellite holder from Indonesia and grid OJ00. Okay, we want to say thanks to John Goering, N7AZ, for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT net. Okay, we've got a dying satellite that may photograph asteroid Apophis in 2029. An Australian company wants to join efforts to study a rare space event, conducting its own flyby of the asteroid Apophis when it makes its close approach to Earth in 2029. Sydney-based HEO Robotics, provider of commercial satellite-to-satellite imagery, wants to add to the international missions already planning to get up close to the 1,115-foot-wide or 340-meter asteroid Apophis as it zooms by Earth in April 2029 by buying a satellite near the end of its life up in geostationary orbit and use its remaining fuel. Satellites in the geostationary belt, or the GEO orbit, that's out there at 22,236 miles, or 35,786 kilometers above the equator. Spacecraft nearing the end of their lives use their remaining fuel to head into a so-called graveyard orbit above GEO, to take themselves out of the way of the operational satellites. HEO aims to buy a satellite near the end of its mission lifetime and, using a little more fuel than needed for the graveyard trip, make a close approach to Apophis, which will pass within GEO belt when it makes its close approach Friday, April the 13th, 2029. Oh boy, on April the 13th. Well, that should be a good Friday the 13th. Okay, let's see. You can read the full article over at space.com, and that's at www.spacetime.com/astronomy/ASTEROID/COULD-USE-ITS-FINAL-MOMENTS-2-PHOTOGRAPH-V-INFAMOUS-ASTEROID-APOPHIS-N-2029. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. Once again, let's give you those URLs for our website and the URLs we discuss and ways that you can listen to the net. You can just go over and check out www.amsatnet.com. There, thanks to Bruce, KK5DO. And then for satellite operators, there's a whole bunch of really good information on the frequencies that satellites operate on and their status, whether they're operational or not, and other good information, as well as information on the symposium and the store. You can buy satellite antennas, all kinds of good stuff, and that's right over at www.amsat.org. All right, looks like this week we do have some changes to the AMSAT TLE distribution for December the 12th, 2025. Two line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or just KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. So it's another good resource we get from AMSAT.org. Since the Celeste Trek went away, we get the weekly Keplerian element files. Of course, when you download that weekly file there and update your satellite tracking programs on your computers, it puts all the satellites in the appropriate locations. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. The TLE Bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day, and new bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. You can find more information over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. Once again, information for Keplerian elements, it's over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. And the following satellite has been removed from this week's AMSAT TLE distribution, and that's Dushafat 3, NORAD catalog ID 44854, it decayed from orbit on or about the 8th of December 2025. And then we've got some new satellites that have been added to this week's AMSAT TLE distribution. Okay, we've got SilverSat, which is NORAD catalog ID 66909. It has a downlink frequency of 437.175 MHz. And then BEE-1000. NORAD catalog ID 66650, downlink frequency on a 436.5 MHz. Snuglight 3, Dury, NORAD catalog ID 66661, and the downlink frequency is on 436.789 MHz. Okay, and we want to say thanks to Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, the AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSATnet. Well, it looks like Boeing's next Starliner flight will carry cargo only. NASA's ended months of speculation about the next flight of Boeing's Starliner spacecraft, confirming that the vehicle will carry only cargo to the International Space Station. NASA and Boeing are now targeting no earlier than April 2026 to fly the uncrewed Starliner 1 mission Space Agency said. Launching by next April will require completion of rigorous test, certification, and mission readiness activities, NASA added in a statement. Starliner's first flight in December 2019 without crew had to be truncated after software problems plagued the vehicle. It was nearly lost shortly after launch, as well as before atmospheric reentry. It did not make a planned rendezvous with the space station. The second mission, Orbital Flight Test 2, took place in May of 2022, but because of problems on the previous mission, this spacecraft also flew uncrewed. This flight was more successful reaching the space station despite some thruster issues. NASA has spent more than 2 years testing Starliner on the ground before its first crewed flight in 2024, carrying NASA astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams, Katie. During its approach to the space station, the Starliner spacecraft once again experienced serious thruster issues. However, the life and death nature of this flight was not revealed until nearly a year later. Starliner ultimately docked with the space station, but after heated deliberations, NASA informed Boeing that the vehicle would return to Earth uncrewed. As a result, a Dragon mission was launched later in 2024, carrying just two astronauts instead of a full complement of four. This allowed for the safe return of Wilmore and Williams in March of 2025. And we want to thank Wired for that information. And, of course, you can read the full article if you need a quick history lesson. It's right over at www.wired.com/story/boeing-next-starliner-flight-will-only-b-allowed-2-carry-cargo. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Other amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts and JAXA astronauts aboard the International Space Station. And the downlink frequency on which to listen is on 145.800 MHz worldwide. Okay, due to the holidays, there are no contacts scheduled until after the first of the year. Okay, the International Space Station amateur radio status. The latest as of Thursday, December the 11th, Columbus Module Radio is currently configured as the crossband repeater. It's on a downlink frequency of 437.800 MHz, and it has an uplink of 145.990 MHz with a peel tone of 67 Hz. Okay, the Service Module Radio is currently offline. Reset for disabled D710GA targeted before year end. Ham TV is currently active, transmitting a blank AV signal, and you can pick up the downlink on 2395 MHz. Or 2.395 gigahertz, just under 2.4 gigahertz.
Okay, the SSTV series 30-1, as of December the 11th, images continue to be sent from RS-38S, Vizard Mateo, and that's all, it was on 437.825 megahertz using Robot 36. And the event is scheduled to end at 2359 UTC or 6:59 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, December the 13th. So that was the continued and recommissioned SSTV series that was transferred from the ISS because of the Kenwood TMD 710GA failure over to RS-38S satellite, the Vizard Mateo. And then ARIS of 25th anniversary dates are upcoming. 21st of December will be the first educational contact from the ISS with Bill Shepard and the Burbank School in the United States. Okay, the latest information on the operation mode of the International Space Station can be found over at www.ars.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html, and the latest list of frequencies in use is over at www.ars.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the ARIS operation team mentors, for that information. Hey, you want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition? You can get an AMSAT car flag and other neat stuff at the Zazzle store. And when you do, 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. You just go run over to www.zazzle.com/store/AMSAT_here.
DL-123.
Okay, AMSAT ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, AMFest, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. So, there's no activities currently scheduled till the end of the year, but if you're interested in becoming an AMSAT ambassador to help with all the activities next year, well, you can go check out www.amsat.org/ambassador. And we want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, the director of the AMSAT Ambassador Program, for that information. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. Earth Observation Satellite Tubin of Technical University Berlin, Germany, is about to re-enter Earth's atmosphere in the upcoming days, the 16th of December, plus or minus one day. During the orbital decay, it is transmitting a telemetry beacon every 10 seconds, including position, attitude, temperatures, etc., via amateur radio UHF band at 435.950 megahertz.
W5BSA repeater.
Okay, researchers would appreciate support of additional radio amateurs listening in and for the received telemetry data. And you can find more info at community.libre.space/tubin-tubesat-27-re-entry/13998. the orbit is decaying quite fast, most recent TLEs shall be used, which are frequently updated at db.satnavs.org/api/TLE/?NORAD_CAT_ID=48900. Any decoded frames, audio recordings, or reception reports are very welcome and can be submitted following the instructions over at community.libra.space. And the team at TU Berlin will collect all contributions and can provide specialized two-bin reentry QSL cards. So the full project overview is at www.tu.berlin/en/RAUMFAHRTTECHNIK/research/current-projects/TUBIN. Okay, and we want to thank Stefan Reimert of Technica Universidad Berlin for that information. Okay, Peter Goodall, MM9SQL, has developed Zenith, a web-based tracking application. You can find zenithtracker.org, and thanks to Peter Goodall, MMQSQL, for that information. And the AMPSAT CubeSat Simulator gets excellent reviews, but a budget version is available from the Ukraine for those with access to 3D printing and a willingness to overcome some bugs and limitations. Okay, you can join AMPSAT today by going to launch.ampsat.org. And in addition to regular membership, AMPSAT offers membership to societies, a recognized group, club, or organization. Students are eligible for free membership up to the age of 25. Memberships are also available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@AMPSAT.org for additional membership information. 7-3, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space, and that comes from this week's ANS editor, Mark Johns, K0JM, or mjohns@amsat.org. Okay, we hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the Houston AMSAT Net. It looks like we went over by a couple of minutes there, but stay safe, keep playing with those radios, making lots of satellite contacts. We look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO up there in Roman Forest, myself, Marty, WV5Y, in Northwest Houston, we say 7-3 for this week from the Houston AMSAT Net.